Well, greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this All Saints Sunday will be taken from Revelation. You can remain seated for this. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 7. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 17. Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, reading through verse 17. And reading this in Jesus' name. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no man could number, from every nation, from all tribes and all peoples and all languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms and branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God that sitteth upon the throne, and the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around about the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressing me, asked, "Who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are they that are coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen." Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. And Father, we pray that you would empty our minds of all thoughts of our own, all fears and struggles. We are far from perfect, we know that, Father. But yet there are many things that take place that we don't understand. May we be patient. Even when we deal with loss of life, Father, we also got to look to the victory, to the completeness in Christ. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because your word is truth. We ask this all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. For all of you that have gone through this process in the last year, and you've had the opportunity, or if I was able to do the burial service for you, or for your loved one, you would know that I read this text at every burial. I feel it's that important. This text is such a powerful text, because what it does is it allows us to see and to know how much God loves us. It's not about divisions. It's not about congregations. It's not about groups. This is a vision that is given to John that is so powerful and so encouraging that we all need to hear it. We need to grasp it. He looks and he sees a multitude of people that no man could number. And when we go into areas of Christianity, we have a tendency as humans to think we can number our groups. We can figure out exactly who's in and who's out. But when we take that game into our own hands, we leave out one of the most important things that ever could be considered: the grace of God, the will of God, and his effectual work in people's lives. When John sees those that are found in the heavenly host, that are standing before the throne of God, it says there is a multitude there that no man could number. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine to see the sea of people there? We go to our sporting events before COVID. We go to our sporting events and we are pretty pumped when we learn there's 100,000 people, 200,000 people at this event. We like it when we have a million people marching. We have all kinds of things that we basically claim to that are very powerful indicators of they're on our side. But before the throne of God, there is a multitude that no one can number. It very strongly brings out an understanding of how inclusive our God is. How inclusive He is. We look at our congregations and we have a tendency to gauge how well we're doing by how many people are in our pews. And then if we were to turn around, we would go to our roster and we'd say, well, how many people we actually have that say they belong to a certain congregation? How many people are able to come and just receive the word? And to be encouraged. And to be encouraged to enter out into a place that is not always so certain, this world. And to have a comfort to know, not only am I, you know, comforted by the person, comforted by the love of God, but also the communion of saints, that we all are on the same page, that we are all there to encourage and to strengthen one another. He says, man, look at this. I see a multitude. And where are they from? And this is something for us to seriously consider. Where are they from? Well, they got to be from the USA because that's the only real blessed nation, isn't it? Doesn't really say that, does it? A lot of us might say, well, they're Sumalainen, they're Finns, because, you know, Finns are the ones that have it. Well, I'm half Italian. Do I count? Maybe that's what's wrong with me, hey? I remember when I came here and Bobby looked at me the first week I preached here or something. He said, finally, we got one in, because he was Italian. But they're from every nation. Every nation. He said they're from all tribes. Every group of people. Because each and every one is valuable to God. God desires for us to understand that we all have a value. Each and every one of us. He died for each and every one of us, not just for a select few. He says, from all languages. We take a lot of pride in our language. I still do in this day and age. We need to let go even of that. Because the fact of it is, you know, we may not understand so much because at the conception of this nation, everybody came from different areas. They all spoke different languages, and they held on to that as their identity. And so if you were to look through the history, even just in the Lutheranism, there is every kind of Lutheranism that you can find, the Finnish Lutherans, the Dutch Lutherans, the German Lutherans, because they hung on to their identity through language. And when people became more, if we could say, Americanized, and they started to learn the English language, it became a very big struggle in the congregations. But our God speaks one language. And it is a language of love. It is a language of mercy and grace. And it is a language that has integrity, that we would honor. But they came from all languages throughout the world. And where were they? They were standing before the throne. And it gives an indication of that advocate that is there, because they are standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And this Lamb is the one that has given His life for each and every one of us. Oh, aren't you going to be surprised when you get up there and you find out I'm there? Wow. He says, and they were what? They were dressed in a certain way. They were wearing white robes. This righteousness, this purity, it is given to them. It is an imputed righteousness, as we call it. One that is gained by faith through grace alone. Not whose boy you are, not what country you come from, not what group you belong to. It says very plainly they were clothed in white robes, and they had palms, giving this respect of worship here. There's palms in their hands, and they were in their hands, and they were crying with a loud voice. And it was an amazing statement that they were making. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. So many times in our life, in our human lives, we want to dictate how salvation will come, who will receive it and who will be granted it. But it belongs to God. And God chose to pour it upon each and every one of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this to me is a beautiful thing because it doesn't give it to a certain group. It doesn't give it to a certain saying. God is the one that is the Savior. He is the one that gives each and everything for all of us. Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. And we're given some insight. It says there were angels that were standing around about the throne and all the elders that we see. And he says, and the four living creatures. And they fell before on their faces before the throne. And what does it say? Here, these are things that we get intrigued with. We really do. When we think about angels, we think about these beings that come fluttering down and that maybe, you know, kind of look over the baby Jesus and his little basket there and things like that. But the fact of it is, we have a lot of respect for these visions. But these messengers, all of these that God has established within the kingdom of God, fall before him because there is no other name. There is no other means. Sometimes we're idol worshipers. We like to look at the other guy and say they're the idol worshipers. But really, we have a tendency to have something that moves us inwardly. And we have a tendency, I'm not saying we always do, but to cling to that and make that our idol. And maybe because it has a tendency to give us a comfort of something God has revealed to us. But that is not our salvation. What is revealed is the salvation, the grace of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is Christ in him alone. All of these things that would seem mighty and great to us, they fall before him, ascribing him worth. Why am I sharing all of this with you? What does this have to do with All Saints Day? Because it's not about what they could do. It's not about what any of these individuals could do. It was about what God has done for them. Yeah, he given his only begotten Son because he knew by their own flesh they could not complete it, just as I cannot. I share this with you to show you that even the whole host of heaven looks to the author and the finisher of their faith. And that even upon the last breath of each and every one of our beloved, that it was the finished work of Jesus Christ that granted them into the eternal heavenly host. See, we always talk about it in a very common sense. We say, well, it's a temporary goodbye, which it is. And it's a temporary change of address, which I can understand. But promise you that in and through Jesus Christ, they are here with us. And I've described that to you before, where even the theologians of old would describe it that this communion rail that would be in a circular shape. It is because we believe very strongly by faith that we are taking communion also with the saints that are on the other side, that this would be a full circle. To understand and know that, yes, we may not be able to see their faces, but we understand and know that God holds them secure and that they are in him by his finished work. They speak of where salvation comes from. They turn and they worship. And what do they say? Amen. Let it be so. Let it be done. That blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and the power and the might of our God be forever and ever. Let it be so. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they proclaim the truth. that all blessing is of God, that all of His glory is to be known, and that in reality that we would have this wisdom, we would understand and know and be comforted of what we have received, and that we would be thankful. And in this thankfulness, that we would give honor, and we would understand that the power is fully from God the Father. We have nothing to fear in Christ, nothing. One of the elders is actually pretty, you know, he wants John to think about this. We just have been given a beautiful vision that there is a multitude that is standing before the throne of God that came from everywhere, every group. And it is so large that no man could number it. And there is worship that is going on there, ascribing worth. And there is people and there are beings in reality that are just praising God for His miracle. And the elder says, who are these? Who are these? Where did they come from? I think John's blown away. And I say this half tongue in cheek, but I think maybe, and this is my own thought, but this is how I'd be, maybe he's surprised of who's there. Can you imagine? You get up there and you're given this vision of this great scene and you see so-and-so up there and you're like, seriously, whether we want to admit it or not, we have a tendency to gauge things in our mind. We have a tendency to say who can and who can't. But he's blown away by this. And the elder says, who are these? And where did they come from? And what's his answer? Sir, you know. Tell me, how is it possible? How is it possible that they can be here? Now, maybe you don't have that problem. Maybe, you know, you never gauge people. I like to pretend I don't, but I still have a tendency to. Maybe we sit in conversations where we act as though we would never guess or gauge, but then God puts us in a circumstance that opens our eyes and says, Jesse, do you really not gauge? Do you really not judge? Who are they? Sir, you know. And the elder looks to him. He says, these are they. These are they have come out of the great tribulation. They've come through the struggle of life. A lot of people have a tendency to think this is only during the end times and the understandings of the millennial reign and all. I'm not going to get into that stuff. That's not for me. None of that stuff's for me. That's not where God has gifted. If I have a gift. Have you been through a tribulation? Have you had struggles? I have. I remember the first time that I ever had to do a funeral. And it was for an elder man over in Alston Church. And I didn't know him real well, not to be rude, but I mean, you got to admit, when you're a pastor and you just go to a new congregation, you're there for barely maybe a year. You don't get to know everybody as well as you should. And I was scared because Earl was not around town, so I had to do this alone. He was my mentor. And so I left the house. I don't know why. And I was in my street clothes. I knew the funeral was, say, at 2, and this is like 10 o'clock, and I left the house, and I found myself over at Willie's place up at Copper Country Ford looking at vehicles. Why was I looking at vehicles? Because I didn't know what else to do. And I remember on the way there praying, Lord, I don't know what it's like to be a family member, to have lost someone so close. Please give me a sensitive heart. My brother-in-law always used to tell me, be careful what you pray for. My stepfather, who was very, very close to, who was my father. Not that I disown my father, but I'm just saying I was very close to him since 12 years old. He was like a dad. He lived with me. He passed away that morning. God allowed me to feel. He was dying of cancer. He was in rough shape. There's no doubt about it. I can't say what you're feeling. I can't say what you've gone through in the last year. But I can sense it. But the greatest thing that has come to me is that before he took his last breath, I know he believed. And I've even had it where one of my favorite hymns is the Old Rugged Cross. And I know there's people that don't appreciate that. We have to be sensitive to these things. Because when Charlie was in his last week, and I'm not a singer, he'd ask me to sing the Rugged Cross to him. Because it meant something to him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't know what you're going through. We can't feel what you've been through. But we can relate. But the one thing I can promise you, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, there is no more battle for them. They are secure in him, and they, in reality, are in the scene that we see here. These are they that have come through the great tribulation. Your loved ones went through tribulation. Our tribulation may not be like somebody else's, but it is real because we are going through it. We need to be sensitive, and we need to encourage one another through these things. They have come through the great tribulation, and they have had or have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is something that is missing. I got to check my time. This is something that is missing. And I don't know why we've lost, and I'm guilty of it too, but we've lost sight of the blood of Christ. That atoning blood that washes away all of our sin, that by the faith in his finished work, because see, in reality, if we could say it in a very straightforward fashion, sin is bad and it brings death. And so, in reality, by our own sin, by our own miscomings, our shortcomings, even inherited from Adam himself, we are born into this bound of death, this debt. And the scripture speaks so openly about Jesus coming to this earth and actually buying us back. Reconciling is the word that's used. To understand and know that he loves each and every one of us so much, he paid the penalty. He bought us back. He bought us back. And we need to remember that because we understand and know that he bought our brother Bill. He bought our brother Willie. George. Sweet Eva. Jared. And our dear sister Ingrid. And our brother Peter, anyone else. Because he loves us all. That's why that throne room is full. He bought us all back. Romans 5:9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more we shall be saved from wrath, the wrath of God. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption, the buying back through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins or trespasses, as it's called here, according to what? The richness of his grace. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about our thought system. It's about what God has done in the buying back. But if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship one with another. And that's why I believe it's important that we need to understand this to get back into the unity of fellowshipping one to another. He says, and the blood of Jesus Christ does what? Cleanses us. Cleanses us from our sin. That's 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, this joining together with one another. He says, and this blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. These are they that have come through the great tribulation and have had their robes, this imputed righteousness, washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, on account of this being done for them, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne, he will shelter them. He will shelter them, it says, with his presence. How many times in our life have we said, where's God? Where's God? He's there. And even in that throne room, his presence is there, which protects them. They see it. We look through a glass darkly. We don't quite see it on this side of earth. I remember when my stepfather did pass, someone gave me a Diamond Rio CD because there was a song on there that was quite fitting. And basically the song was that the crying is only for those that are left behind. I don't know exactly how it went, but it was very fitting. This is the sadness. But as I often share, and I think it's true, we turn around and we say, well, will we know them? Will we see them? I don't understand heaven, and I'm not going to pretend to have any great insight that anybody else doesn't have. But as I've shared before, King David, when his child with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, was taken, and after the child was taken, he gets up and cleans himself off, and the people were blown away because he was lamenting so heavily and so hard. And one of them finally says, David, we don't understand. While your child was sick, you were lamenting, you were doing all this, you were just miserable. And now that the child is gone, you get up, clean yourself off, and say, let's eat. And David says, well, there was a chance, but yet a chance, I was still pleading to my God. But when the child was taken, this I knew, that my child cannot come to me. And he says this in the scripture, but I will go to him. That brings me comfort. That yes, we will meet again. He will shelter them with their presence. And in this sheltering, there will be no more hunger. There's no more thirst. And I think this is fine, earthly, but I think spiritually, everything is answered. Everything is answered. He says, the sun will not strike them, and what this means is you're not under the burden of the heat anymore because there's no more scorching heat. He says, and the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. In other words, continued and refreshing. He says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is true of them that are found in Christ. But that, in other words, after they leave this earth and be secure in him. But this is still true for us too. That it is God that will take and comfort you, that will protect you, that will allow you to do your mourning, but also will give you a hope. So we pray that as we enter into another year, that we don't forget, but that we remember the blessings God has given us and through the fellowship of the body of believers. Because that's who they are. They are in fellowship with you. And the address might have changed, but that fellowship has not stopped. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We praise and we thank you for your living word. We pray, Father, that you would allow us also to find comfort, that you hold not only our beloved ones that have gone on in your palm of your hands, but Father, that you hold each and every one of us, that we would be strengthened, that we would be comforted, and that we could find a peace. May we always continue to have the fellowship of believers so that we can encourage one another. We ask it all in Christ's name. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.